Good morning.
Good morning.
We've just been singing praises. We've been thinking about praise Him, praising in what we do today and what we do throughout our lives. The idea of I'll live on also. As we come together this morning, it is a bright and sunny morning. It is a good day to be alive. As you come together, you come from many circumstances. Some of you are having the best of times in your life. Some of you are struggling along the way. The encouraging aspect that we have is, as we live on, it will be in a very glorified state, no matter what our state may be here. As we come together also, I think of my appreciation for the aspect of what this meeting represents. For me, the last 25 years, I've been here most of the time. It represents, I guess, the end of summer. I kind of think of it in the beginning of fall. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but I appreciate what everybody's done up here along the way, and the meeting for us and for you. As we begin the lesson, I'm going to begin with a quote that you'll find very familiar. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When was that said and by whom? Jesus Christ hung upon a cross. Jesus Christ was being smitten. He was being slapped. He was being mocked. They blindfolded him. They struck him in the face. They spoke blasphemy against him. Nails were in his hands, and a crown was slammed onto his head. And yet, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When you stop and think of this, what it represents, it seems, is the power of words, both positive and negative. These are shown in this situation of the cross. Are words powerful? Now, our lesson today is the power of positive speech, and that's what we'll try to focus on. But also recognizing how powerful negative words are as well. In a sense, it's comparing the power of Satan and the power of Christ. Is the power of Satan great? Yes. Is the power of Christ greater? Never underestimate the power of negative words, because they are powerful. But always cling to the power of positive words, because they are what bring life, and they come through Christ. In the situation we spoke of with the cross, which seems, in a sense, to be more powerful? The positive word spoken by Christ or the negative words? Well, here is one man, and here are a group of many people. If you think of when we see the ones who are beating him and mocking him and speaking blasphemy against him, they are saying these in very loud voices. There's many of them. And here is Jesus. Does he seem to be powerless? Does he seem to have to endure what is before him? It seems that way, doesn't it? But yet Jesus showed his power, in a sense, in a very simple statement. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, if you stop and think about, let's consider some of the, or all of the comments, and I'm not going to mention all of the comments, but think of all the words that had been said in the 24 hours prior to Christ's crucifixion. He was in the garden. Judas came and betrayed him. They continued on, and he was before the council, including the high priest. The high priest is the one that had power to deliver in this case. They brought witnesses against him. The high priest delivered him on to Pilate. Pilate had the power to release him. They brought him also. The Jews were there. Pilate tried to deliver him to the Jews, but they said what? Crucify him. Let him be crucified. And you think of the words Jesus said on the cross. Think of the words that people said to him while he was on the cross. If you were there that day and you heard all these words, and then you heard Jesus say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," those may have stuck out to you that day, or it may have just been another statement made, and you may not have thought that much about it. I don't know. It would depend on the circumstance. But what I'm pointing out now, and what we are thinking of now, is what truly those simple words are, and what they meant with Christ. What is at the heart of forgiveness? Is it power? And you think of it from the sense, if you do not forgive, you become powerless, in essence. If Christ would not, and he could have easily forgiven them in his heart without literally saying the words, but if Christ would not have forgiven, if Christ would have, quote, held a grudge against the people who betrayed and crucified him, would he be any better than you and I? No. And so what we see is, without forgiveness, any sense of power is actually related to the negative. It's negative in the sense that it's the ones who were saying the strong things against Christ would have the power. It's negative in the sense that without, again, that forgiveness, the negative within our own heart would still be there. Without forgiveness, Christ would still have been felt, would still have been feeling that he had been wronged. And is that the same for us? If we do not forgive, would we still have the sense of feeling wronged? So what do we always need to do? I'm just bringing that up kind of in the beginning as we consider this. And to me, this was as good a place as any to start. The idea of the power of positive speech, in Christ's case, including forgiveness. In our own case, including forgiveness as well. Because as we forgive, we release the power that others may have over us. As we forgive, we, through Christ, regain power within our own lives as well, within our own heart, within our own soul. Let's move to a different situation very briefly and quickly. In the third verse of the Bible, God said what? Let there be light, and there was light. The power of positive words. In the third chapter of the Bible, who comes along? The serpent. And he says, as he talks to Eve, "Has God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden?" Let me just go ahead and re-say that. "Has God said you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?" And as Eve replied back, he then later said, "You will not surely die." Positive speech or negative? Obviously negative. What is the power of God's word, "Let there be light," and the power of Satan's word, "You will not die"? Has that impact continued throughout history and even now till today as well? So we see the power of words at the cross. We see the power of words in creation. And let's think about the power of words today. What about the power of words in your life and in mine? I would suggest to you that of all the things that you may do in life, and of all the things you may say, your greatest legacy and your greatest impact may very well be from your words. That's what people may remember you by. If they've been very positive, people will have a positive memory. But if not, those words, those memories will also be negative. One of the most quoted sayings about this is, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never," what? "Hurt me." Is that true? For some it may be, as they develop a thick skin, but for the vast majority, that's not a very true statement. Because words will hurt along the way. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 10. Actually, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. I could easily quote it and mention a couple of things and move on, but I think it's just as well for us to turn here and actually read it and spend a moment on it. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. As we recognize, there's many proverbs about our speech, and many of these proverbs show this contrast, the positive and the negative. Verse 18. "There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Now, I think as you look at this, you can recognize the piercings of a sword in this context is negative. But when I think of it, I also think of a couple of instances in the Bible, at least, where a sword and the piercings of a sword, at least in one instance, it's literally brought out. In another, it's implied. But there are times that a sword and the piercings of it actually are positive. One of them that I think of is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Speaking of the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged what? Sword, piercing even, the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So sometimes that piercing of the sword is actually a very good thing. It goes into our heart in a good way, and it brings good results. One of those was when Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost. And he finished his sermon by declaring, "Men and brethren, this same Jesus whom you have crucified, God has made what? Both Lord and Christ." How did the people respond? The New King James says they were cut to the heart. What shall we do? Repent and be baptized. There they were cut to the heart in a very good way then. So sometimes being pierced to the heart is a good thing. But often being pierced to the heart is not. And what we see here in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. And here we have then the idea of negative. How often and how much do we recognize the idea of the very nasty things that can be said? When they are, it is as a pierce, as a cut to the heart. There are, for me, I have not been affected in this way quite like some may be. But there are some here today who have been many times pierced to the very heart by things that people have said. It has been very, very hurtful along the way. We finish with that verse by saying, "But the tongue of the wise promotes health." The tongue and the words of the positive can take the brokenhearted and bring them back to health. It can take the healthy and continue to build them up. The tongue of the wise promotes health. That's who we are, that's what we are, and that's what we strive to always be. In our next phase of our lesson this morning, I'm going to mention four areas of life. There can be others. But what I want us to do is just, again, we're taking our own situations, we're bringing them to our mind, and we're seeing how they affect and relate to us. The four areas that we might briefly mention are school, work, family, and church. All areas, all ages. What kind of words do we hear? What kind of words do we speak along the way? Let's start with school. And as we think of school, in a sense, I'm thinking especially, well, and it could start even younger. I was thinking kind of those here today from 8 to 22, or, you know, we're talking elementary through college, basically. I'll just phrase it like that. But as I say this, also, it's not just those ages, because all of us here, truly, in a sense, school represents life, too. It's not as if things that happen in school only happen for those number of years, but actually, throughout our lifetime, adults often can act like kids as well. And so, throughout our ages, circumstances may change, but many things also are similar. One of the first places we learn then of these positive and negative speeches is in school. We see both the cruel nature of children at times, as well as great compassion. When I say the cruel nature, I'm talking again about words. Because even at the youngest of ages, kids can say things that are very hurtful to each other. But at the same time, you can see those who are very compassionate and helpful. I was reminded as I was thinking of this, of a situation I had about 5 years ago. I was at a two-week meeting. Church-wise, of course, I was staying with a family who had a 10-year-old daughter. She had given me her room for the week, and at the end of the week, I was kind of getting ready, and I was moving out. Actually, it was at the end of the first week, and I was going somewhere else for the second. That had been arranged from the beginning. And she came into the room, and I said something to her. I had a feeling she was glad to get her room back, and also started talking to her, asked her a question about school. And she started talking about school. It was kind of interesting. For probably 10 minutes on a Sunday morning, a 10-year-old was kind of pouring her heart out about how difficult things are sometimes at school. And here was a girl that, in many ways, you would think wouldn't have too many struggles. Very personable, very outgoing, very intelligent. But also, the idea, the fact, was brought to my mind, again, of how sometimes it can be a struggle. Things that people say, things that you get cliques together doing different things. So the power of, in this case, the power of negative speech was certainly affecting her or had along the way. I bring this up simply because for those of you who are in school, but also all of us, we're talking about something very personal. Some of you have been hurt by the brunt of the negative words. For some of you, you may be on the other side. You may be the one that are saying some of these negative words. The thing that we recognize is just because we are here this morning, just because we have become a Christian in many instances, doesn't mean that these things don't tempt us, and doesn't mean that we don't fall into these same, not just temptations, but sins as well. It's easy to do it. And that's why lessons like this are important. I am here this morning to convey the importance of this. You know, each of the lessons given and assigned this weekend have an importance. They fit into certain niches, if you will, of our Christian life. And this is one niche. This is one aspect of our life that is so important. It was decided to develop a lesson around this, a very good thing, because truly, as we sung the song about I'll live on, our life is truly affected by how we speak, about how we are spoken to by others as well. Again, people see, or we see and hear things around us all the time. We may fall into our own niche, our own pattern, number one, of being the brunt of this. But if you are the brunt of negative words, was not Christ as well? Was not the prophets along the way? Whether we are persecuted for righteousness' sake or just persecuted, either way, we recognize that Christ suffered. We may suffer. We receive encouragement because as He forgave, we forgive. I'm reminded also of Joshua. What did he do in the last days of his life as he gathered the people around him? What were his words that are very famous? Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. What about our speech? My encouragement to you is, choose you this day what you will say. Choose you this day whether you will use positive words. Make it a conscious decision and make a conscious commitment to follow through with it. It is a choice. How you will speak of others, how you will speak to others, irregardless of what is going on around you, irregardless of what others say, choose to, learn to, be trained to speak positively of others. I had mentioned this in the school sense, but again, relating it to all of us, because it falls true along the way. Moving to the job sense, we're moving to the adult world. We're moving to the adult workplace. But as I mentioned, the characteristics of the human heart are the same, whether adult or children. Again, it's personal. In the workplace, where do you fit in? Are you one who receives the brunt of negative comments at times? Are you the one who at times may speak negatively of others, be caught up in gossip? Or have you made a commitment and always follow through with speaking positively? Briefly considering families as well. You know, I mentioned school was one of the first places, but really, where does it all begin? in the family. It all begins at home with this. How do you speak to your husband or wife? How do you speak to your children? How do you speak to your brothers and sisters? How do you speak to your parents? You know, over the years, my perception has been, well, here's a Christian home. Everything's nice and rosy. Over the years, I've also now begun to realize that that's not always the case. Many of you recognized that years ago. But what we find is, with this, this takes effort. It takes commitment. Because is it easy to snap at those who are around us? In a sense, what we find is that the ones who we love the most are the ones we are around the most, and the ones who receive the most what? Negative criticism. The brunt of our words at times. What we always need to try to keep our minds on is focus on the positive, see the positive, and say the positive. Family, church, job, school, whatever it may be. Otherwise, what we have are walls that are built up, things that happen along the way, words can truly damage significantly. Let's move to the church briefly, same idea. When we come to the church, we think, well, we've got Christians who are firmly established and know how to positively speak, right? Not always. Again, that's why lessons like this are important, to be reminded, to use our tongues for our own benefit and those around us, and not for our detriment. We have a spiritual side, we have a fleshly side. I would say all of us, everybody here today, your spiritual side is very committed to doing this, but your fleshly side sometimes falls short. In some cases, it often falls short. Be committed to change that, if that's the case. Should you have high expectations in this area of yourself? Should you have high expectations of everyone around you in this? Yes. But should you also be quick to forgive when others fall short, just as Christ was? Let's move to the Bible and look at some Bible passages. In general, we'll look at them briefly, but let's look at a few verses that speak of this. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 is one that we've already used. We'll go to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. Again, reminding ourselves of our focus, the power of positive speech. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. In general, when we're talking about positive speech too, we're talking about it directed to people. That's kind of our focus with this. So guarding our mouth, preserving our life. Let's move to the 15th chapter of Proverbs. Of all the chapters of the Bible that have a significant amount about this, this is a chapter. We'll just look at a few selected verses from here. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. So, in the first instance, we have maybe a harsh word having already been spoken to us, and in responding, a soft answer. Is a soft answer that positive speech? Truly it is. Positive speech isn't always soft, but often it can be. Verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Perverseness in our tongue breaks the spirit of those who hear it. Perverseness in the sense also of saying things directly to that person about them. It breaks their spirit, but the wholesome tongue allows the tree to grow. Verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. It disperses knowledge rightly. It helps as far as things that I know about you or you know about me. I'm not just out sharing with everyone if these are negative things. But the lips of the wise disperse things that are worthy to know. the positives of others. Let's go on down to verse 26. And again, there's many that could be said. Much could be said. We're trying simply to show. And I would say at least half of you, probably 75 to 80% of you, are familiar with this passage and these words. But there's also many of the young and many of those who have not yet established certain knowledges of the Bible. By going through these verses, it helps to point out this particular area. Verse 26, Proverbs 15, 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. Positive speech, pure and pleasant. Verse 28. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. In being righteous, we're going to think, we're going to study how we should answer. Chapter 16, verses 21 to 24. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and sweetness of the lips increases learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it, but the correction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. That verse 24 is especially encouraging with this. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Chapter 17, one more verse, or one more group here, verses 27 and 28. Chapter 17, 27. He who has knowledge spares his words. A man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. Okay? Having knowledge, we know of, in the case of speaking of other people, we may again know of other people, but know of their circumstances and know situations, but also we're going to speak positively of them. Let's go to one passage in the New Testament with this as well, and that's in Matthew chapter 12. We'll look at verses 33 through 37 and focus especially on one or two points of it. Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word that man may speak, they will give account of in the day of judgment. For your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Of this, relating to this lesson, I'll focus especially on the end of verse 34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Positive words is our focus. The power of positive words. And where do they come from? The power of a positive heart. The power of a heart that is committed to Christ. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We have situations where we recognize, and I guess that's going to be especially in a later passage that I'll use, so I won't mention a whole lot of it now, other than relating it back to what we had here. We've got a tree. It's known by its fruit. What kind of fruit comes from it, just as what kind of fruit comes from our lips. Changing gears for a moment, negative words. Are they important and useful at times? Yes. Did Christ speak negative words to those around him at times? Do the prophets speak negative words? Yes. Is there a time and place then? Definitely. But what we see is it's important how we do it. It's important the way we direct these words. You know, I was sitting in a park not long ago and just kind of thinking of this idea. And what came to my mind is, I mean, if you just take a handful of seed, and this is the opposite of what we should do, but if you take a handful of seed and you throw it up into the air and the wind is blowing, what happens to it? The seed is blown and scattered around. It's not going to cover a real wide distance at that stage, but it's going to go several different places. You know, in a sense, that's how negative words are. If we just begin to spew them out, and here I'm talking about the wrong way to do it, if we just begin to spew out negative words, whether it's to someone or about someone, those words are just heard by whoever's present. They are not directed in any particular way, or at least not in any good way. And again, this is the way that it would not be handled. But what we see is, we don't just let the words fly and land where they may, but we have very good direction. Matthew chapter 18, turn there, if you will, with us. This gives us what we might see as the classic direction in terms of handling situations where negative words need to be said. Before we read this, I might also mention that this is something that would be done in general on fairly rare occasion. It's not something that we do quickly. I think sometimes some people can, they may think, well, I'm going to do it in the right way, but they also become too hasty. We need to bear with people. We need to be long-suffering. But if and when the time comes that there is a time to address something, Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. If he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you even as a heathen and as a tax collector." Again, much could be said with this. Right now, we're just focusing on the idea, or our main focus is, any conversation like this should be private. It should be kept that way, if at all possible, and move to others only when needed. Let me also turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I had mentioned a moment ago the idea of being, in a sense, long-suffering, being patient with someone, not just rushing off to do this just because our feelings are hurt. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, we find five things mentioned that are important to remember when we are saying something in a private conversation that's negative about or to someone. And also, it's whether positive or negative words, we need to remember these five qualities, and they need to be a part of us. Verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." All lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. All of these are important. On the rare occasion we need to use negative words, and also in the 95 to 99% of the time that we are speaking positive words as well. There's one other fairly, well, I'll say major area that I'd like to develop for just a couple of minutes. And I'd like for us to think about positive speech in a low point of life. Many of you, many of us, most of us have had periods of a very low time. It may have been a brief time. It may have been for a month, for a year. Things happen. Life seems bad. You're very low. If this is not a major aspect for you personally, I would hope that you have talked with and worked with those who are in this situation. I'm going to mention, in relation to positive speech here, I'm going to mention five words that all begin with the letter A. And all relate to positive speaking to people in this case, or to you, as you have been in this position. I'll just mention the five words to start with, and that is acceptance, affection, appreciation, approval, and attention. Positive speech, low points in life, acceptance. When things are at their worst, you want to be accepted. And there's many areas we can go into this. We're not talking about we're accepting of everything that happens. We're accepting of every behavior and so on. But we need to be accepting of people. Okay? And acceptance here, a person needs to feel accepted. When they walk in the door of a church building, when someone walks into the door at a Pleasant Hill, no matter if they are the worst of sinners or the most righteous, should we, at least on some levels, accept anyone? And I'm not, you know, again, there are limitations I'm talking about here. There are parameters, but accept people. People need to feel accepted. Affection. There is a caring, a concern, a love, a feeling of affection that we share. An appreciation. Appreciate them for who they are. Appreciate you. You feel appreciated in this low. Approval. To come out of a low period, we need to be approved of. We need to be appreciated. We need to feel affection and acceptance and also attention. We need to give people attention. We need to not become so involved in our own situations, but always remember to go back to them, to show care along the way. Just a few, again, approaching this positive speech in a low point of life. Let's go to the book of James as we finish up. We'll look at two or three passages from here. As most of you recognize, when we speak of our tongues, James chapter 3 is a source. James chapter 3, I'm simply going to look at verses 8 to 12. No man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father. With it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. And of this, our main point for us today is making sure that we are not a spring that tries to bring forth both, but we are a tree that is committed to bringing forth good fruit, a tree committed to positive speech. James chapter 1, verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. This one's religion is vain or useless. If we are striving to be religious at all, spiritual in this sense, make sure positive speech is who we are. Otherwise, all our spiritual efforts are in vain. And verses 19 and 20, I've gone backward in James, you may notice. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And of course here, the wrath of man is understood to be resulting or leading to the result of the way we speak. Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. In relation to our subject then, what does produce the righteousness of God? It is our positive speech. You and I, everyone here this morning, may we be committed. May we be committed to be the most righteous that we can be, the most serving of our Lord. In doing so, as I said, there are many niches of our lessons this weekend. This niche is of utmost importance for you to follow through on. Be positive. See the positive in others. Say the positive about others. May this be our life. May this be who I am. May it be who you are. May it reflect who Christ is. For Christ said what when he was on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.